And now I'd like to introduce our opening speaker for the morning, Sean T. from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, what's going on? I'm Sean. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. I don't know, where are we going? How's it going? I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm going to get to it, but I flew into California on Tuesday, so I've had an amazing week, and I wanted to relax, you know. I wanted to calm down, and you know, like, life is, like, stressful. I'm busy now, and I got shit going on, and I was like, I'm going to go to Yosemite because I heard it was pretty, and yeah, it's all right. Anyway, I get out there, and apparently, like, I picked the wrong weekend because it was, like, 12 o'clock at night, and there's traffic, and, like, every hippie in California is descending on, like, for this bluegrass festival up there, and I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to calm down, and I get out, and I'm like, I'm gonna go backpacking, and I go into the woods, and I'm like, because that's what I need to do, right? Like, whenever I have that thought that, like, I need to be alone, or I need to, like, spend some time away from other people, it's typically, like, bad shit happens after that. And it did, you know, it was this brutal hike, and Yosemite beat the shit out of me, and I made it into this campsite. It took way too long to do way too little, and I'm sitting there, and I'm exhausted, and this squirrel, and this is not a fabrication, like, the squirrels at Yosemite are tough, and this squirrel, like, it came all the way up to my campsite. It came, like, 2 feet away from my tent. It dug a hole, and it took a shit, and it, like, welcome to California, you know? Yeah, so 4 hours later, I'm so peaceful, and I'm so relaxed and so peaceful that every part of my body hurts from the hike. Like, squirrels are, like, hunting me down. I have convinced myself that the other backpackers in camp, like, the one thing that's going to make their trip better is if they come and stab me to death while I'm sleeping. So I'm gripping a knife in one hand. And to calm down, I've got the Zen meditation, like, in my other ear, you know, like, in my iPod. You know, and I had to get out of there, man. So I knew I had to get out of there. I did, and I got to San Francisco, and like, that's when I got calmed down. Like, that's when I got peaceful. When I got here, and when I started to see my friends, you know, like, that's when I relaxed, and that's when I was able to just chill the fuck out. So, thank you for being here for me. And you know, for me, like, I'm sober 6 years of June 12th, 2005, and. That's right. And, like, I couldn't calm down as a kid. Like, I've always been a mess, and I've always been kind of crazy, and how peaceful, like, just being okay was, like, not real. So, like, just as a spastic teenager, and like, the other speaker, a Friday night speaker, she's talking about how she always wanted to be English. I grew up in England, right? I moved to the United States. And I had an English accent. She was talking, she, like, wanted that English accent. And the first thing I did when I got here, I got rid of it because I was convinced you guys were going to kill me. And so, like, just terrified. I was a terrified kid. I was terrified. And, you know, my miracle encounter, I tell these two stories in consequence. They're, like, the greatest thing that ever happened to me as a teenager was I went camping with a friend, and I begged him all weekend to bring his sister's drugs, you know, and I didn't know what kind of drugs that she did, but I knew that she did them, and I wanted to do them, and I begged, and I begged, and I begged, and I was like, bring the drugs, you know. And we're behind a rest stop in a park, and the dude is like, you've done this before, right? And I'm like, yeah, I've totally done this before. And he's like, dude, you just, like, light it? And I'm like, I got it, man, it's cool. And you know, let me go backtrack a second. It's like a day before, I'm in Spanish class, and Jason, the guy sitting in front of me, you know how you have to pass the test backwards, right? You do that. Well, as Jason did that, like, as I turned to it, the paper hit my eyeball, right? So I got a paper cut in my right eye. And like I was walking around like this, like I can't, it was like blurry vision, and it was like, but I was trying to play it off like it's cool, I'm cool, everything's fine, and it was, I thought it was like they were gonna stop me from going away that weekend, but anyway, like, so I'm, you know, it's like watery, painful, and we're behind this rest stop, and like I'm like, you know, like yeah, it's cool, I've done this before. Okay. And I lit the thing, and then I choked, and the cherry flew out, and he knew I was lying, and I was like, oh, shit. So anyway, we did it real quick, and then I got high, and it was like Jesus, and Jesus came down and was like, you are healed, and my vision cleared up, and I could see. And that, I tell you that story so I could tell you the next one, and that was my first experience with alcohol, and this girl that I was, she was going to change my life, and I was totally in love with her, and she decided that that wasn't the case for her, and she was going to go to this dance with this Argentinian exchange student named Guillermo. Yeah. I haven't seen him since, but whatever. And I was angry, right? I was angry about that, and I went on this hill with my friends, and they took care of me, and they brought this jug of Jack Daniels. It was like this big. And that's when I got, that's my first drunk. And it was one shot, and then it was another shot, and then it was another shot, and then it was another shot. And I immediately experienced this craving that I could not overcome. And I blacked out on this hill, and it carried me home, and I threw up all over the place. And I was a total disaster, but I knew right away that I experienced an allergic reaction to alcohol. And every time I drank after that, like I experienced that reaction. And I was terrified of that. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of what alcohol did to me and who I became when I drank right off the bat, you know. And so for me, that began this 8-year period of drinking and drugging where my whole life was about avoiding the way that I felt when I was waking up the next morning from alcohol. And I tried a lot of different things to avoid drinking because I was terrified of it, you know. And then it got to the point where, like, I got good. I was like, I can drink now, you know. This isn't that bad. And the better I got at drinking, the more messed up my life became. And, you know, for 8 years, I was just, I was afraid. I was embarrassed, and I was, like I said earlier, I could not calm down. I had chronic depressive thoughts and just anxiety, general anxiety, but like I didn't know what to do about it, and I didn't really care because I figured, like, we'll just get this over with. Like, I'll die young, get it done with, and then everything will be okay, and that's like, that's kind of weird, you know, but 8 years later, like, that's the only way I could say it. Like, you know, if I was free when I was a teenager, there were times I just felt free. Like, I felt like I was okay driving around, getting high with my friends. Like, I felt freedom, you know, and that was a remarkable feeling, and it went away, you know, and then it was terrible. And I know that there were times during my drinking and using where, like, I was convinced that life could never get bad. Like, I would not be sad the next day. Like, if I had all my alcohol, you know, I had some money, and I had some drugs, and I knew, like, I'm just going to be, like, how could I ever be sad again, you know, like, how could I ever, like, need anything after this night, and every morning, like, I needed more, and, you know, and I appreciate that term that we're, like, we are slaves to alcohol, and it's just, it's part of it's just boring, too, you know, it's just, like, so boring, like, what did you do today, and, like, I woke up at noon, I got high, and then I drank myself to sleep, you know. And, like, there's a whole lot that goes on between, like, the drinking and the sleeping that you don't want to talk about. But, you know, I don't even want to tell that story, so I'm not going to. That'll take too long, and I only have so much time. But anyway, 8 years later, I'm crying, and I'm sitting in front of this man, and I'd been hanging around Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just weeping. I'm crying an awful lot, and I can't talk, and I had to write this thing down in this matchbox, and I wrote, please don't give up on me, and he took it, and he looked at it, and he said, okay, you know, and then he kept talking to me, and he was my first sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous, and he's the guy that saved my life, and he brought me to the meeting, and his other sponsee that I knew was going to die, like, I knew that guy was going to, he wasn't going to make it, like, he had a year, you know, and I had, like, 4 hours, and, whatever. But one of the, you know, showing up in Alcoholics Anonymous and being repulsed by everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous is a good way to get drunk. And I did that for 2 years. I just showed up and I hated everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what happened to me. I got drunk. Excuse me. So when I came back to AA and my sponsor looked at me and said, what do you want to do differently? And I told him I would try his God thing. And thank you. Okay. There's another meeting after the meeting. I told him I would try this God thing, and I did. And I tried the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I did it for real this time. And one of the things that happened, we did it quickly, and I was honest and thorough, and I worked the steps to the best of my ability. I had a spiritual experience as a result of the working of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And my life changed. And it didn't change, like, in ways that I thought it would, but it became different, and I became different in ways. Like, if we would talk about alcoholism as a disease of perception, like, my perception of the world was that it was an awful place to be, and that the people in it were awful, and we all just intended each other harm, calamity and chaos, and now I'm in a position where I can look around and I can say, like, I appreciate being alive, and I appreciate the people that I encounter on a regular basis, and I love my people in St. Louis, and I love my city, and thanks, guys. You know, and I don't have time to go over everything awesome that's happened to me in my life, and I don't have time to, like, tell you, like, all of the great things that I've had this weekend, and I don't have time to tell you, like, exactly, like, where I'm at right now, but I will tell you a couple things in that, like, I have a job that I love, I have a girlfriend, a partner that I love. In February, we're going to have our first baby, so that's yeah, it's a miracle. Like, you get sober, and then you meet somebody, and they're like, I will have his baby, you know? And I, you know, I was looking at her in this restaurant, she was looking at me, and I was like, what is wrong with you? And she's like, and I was like, are you pregnant? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, how did that happen? And so, you know, like, all I know anymore is, like, for me, like, freedom, like, Alcoholics Anonymous has given me the freedom to be who I am, you know. I've never been okay with myself. It took me 5 years of working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous just to calm down and just to be okay with being Sean, you know. And now I hang out with people that are okay with me. They're okay with who I am, you know. They love me for who I am. And I'm not perfect, and there's a lot of work to be done. But I can tell you what, like, there are people I meet in Alcoholics Anonymous that, like, they can't come to my house. Like, they're crazy, you know. But there are people in the service structure, there are people here in this conference doing work, and you guys can sleep on my couch anytime, because if you're doing service in Alcoholics Anonymous, then you know what's going on, and I have a great deal of respect and love for you. So I have nothing but love for California and this committee. Thank you guys so much, and thank you for St. Louis for saving my life. So that's all. Thank you so much.
Sean T. from St. Louis.